Welcome to Starving Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have a talk guest every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talk Show website at www.talkshow.com. Search for call ID 17702. And I would recommend you use Chrome at the moment because that seemed to be the one they're supporting. If you don't know what Chrome is, we got a problem. If you do have Chrome you don't have Chrome and you don't know what that is, feel free to contact me at my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me via Skype, my Skype ID is Franz Games, FRANZGEMES. And of course, you can follow me on the Twitters. My account is sfuoncall. That's sfuoncall on Twitter. Also, my personal account, because that one was for the podcast. Surprise. It is Paul Franz. So to find me on Twitter, just go to twitter.com/PaulFranz. It's PAUFRANZ. And of course, I have my business account, which is Franz Games, FRANZGEMES. And of course, this lovely talkcast, Guest Turner podcast, available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB this week. Of course, as I previously announced, there's 285. There's a whole new bunch of Shapeways miniatures were released this month, including a Federation E3 heavy SWAC shuttle. I was going to say scout, but it's not a scout, it's a shuttle. And of course, Steve Cole was busy working this week on Capslog number 53, blog art, blogs, and also the art for Gorn Master Starship book. Course, getting everything ready for Shapeways and getting posting, which happened a couple of days ago. And of course, the ship for Communicate number 153. Steve Petrick was busy working on updating SFB various items and also working on the Gorn Master Starship book. Gene was busy managing the Facebook page, doing miscellaneous other marketing stuff, including managing the Twitter feed too, and of course making sure that there's no spam on the BBS. Moving onward to this quick convention announcement, which is going to be occurring October 5th through 7th. That's going to be the Council of Five Nations. That's going to be at the Proctor's Theater and Conference Center in Schenectady, New York, zip code 12301, and they actually have a web page for that, so you can quickly find all the information. It's at www.swa-gaming.org/star-trek-star-fleet-games-at-council. And capitalize that like you normally would. Moving on to the SFB Online tournaments, those Masters seems like it's really stuck. No one has played any games. We're still stuck the same place for how many months now? I'm waiting for my round one game to be done because I'm part of round two. And that's just because of there was no one to no matchup to play. So anyone who's on the Masters, please get on your horse and ride out and get your game done. What I might do actually this week is I might send out a blast email telling people who have not played to get their games done. When it comes to Rat 48, run by Ron Brimmeyer, he's been doing pretty good. Though, again, we're a little stuck here. We have four games that have been played in round two, which means there's actually four games yet to be played. But also, there's one game yet to be played in round one. So, We need to get those done, people. We're stuck. This is why it takes us like a year to get through a single rated ace tournament. You know. Moving onward, when it comes to the library report, sorry, there's no progress there. That really needs to change big time. It's currently at 2,426 that have been completed. And yet to be converted is 906, with, of course, percentage complete stuck at 72.8%. And with that is the news for this week. And it's me, as the one and the only Paul Friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we've got, of course, the wonderful, wonderful chat room with us this evening. And it looks like we have another participant who just dialed in, which I gotta unmute that person. I will do that. Person who is just called in, I will be unmuting you shortly. Because of the one thing I'm doing tonight, obviously I'm streaming on YouTube Live. I seem to like that platform. I will probably at the moment continue to do that. Again, I'm still debating on what to actually do about everything, you know, whether we're going to be, continue on SFU On Call or do something else. So at the moment we're going to say hello to number 402.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, this is Christian.
Who's this again? Can you repeat that for me?
This is Garth Ketchum.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Garth. G-A-R-T-H.
Oh, okay.
Not too bad. When I dialed in, it gave a phone number to call.
Right. It's goofy that way. Yes, guess five. We are on YouTube Live also. So, okay. Is there any particular topic that you wanted to discuss or just wanted to dial in?
You know, you're breaking up. I'm just gonna let me mute out, and I'm just gonna listen on the YouTube Live.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, because you're breaking up. I can hear you're breaking up on my feed too, which probably means it's your end. I'm hoping. If it's my end, this is going to be really bad. This really bad broadcast. Okay. Then I'll talk to you later. Okay. Bye. So, yeah, what we're going to be on YouTube Live, but actually is going to be a benefit this evening because of course, this is the first broadcast of the month, the first talk cast of the month. That might change. And one thing I want to obviously go through really quickly, actually, okay, that's bad. Okay, if I'm breaking up, that's bad. This might be a really bad podcast then. There's nothing I can do about that at the moment. It is what it is. I'll work on it next week to see maybe I can get a better connection. But anyhow, moving forward, the one thing I was going to go over actually is Shapeways this week. Okay. Just for those involved in the live, looks like actually YouTube is good, TalkShoe is not, which means that it's probably Skype. That's probably what is the issue, is Skype itself, or could be TalkShoe themselves, because those are the two possible connections there. So in any case, if you're in the chat room, you might want to just switch over to YouTube Live when it comes to that I've got YouTube Live up, but when it comes to the chat room, I don't have much. Yeah, there's no. Fortunately, there's no in there because, and I really don't plan on paying attention to that. In the meantime, I was gonna go through the Shapeways, and for those who want to, you can actually check out the YouTube Live feed afterwards. That in theory, I don't know this for a fact, but I feel pretty confident in saying that. Oh, that link that I posted on the discussion board, that I posted on Twitter. I probably should post it on Facebook. I'll do that afterwards. And so if somebody wants to actually watch it, they can watch it and listen to it. But at the moment, we're going to go through the Shapeways ships, and I'm going to point them out and also tell them what I think about them. Because I was like, I like to at least do a kind of a mini review. Remember, this is my opinion, and this doesn't reflect anything. I'm not ADB. I'm a sole person by themselves. But the important thing here is that I'm not professional. I don't do a lot of miniatures work, but at the same time, come on, there's an aesthetic to miniatures, and I have an opinion on the way I like miniatures to look, the way I like the ships to look. Now, I'm not expecting like the Federation ships to be like, oh, the next generation or the newer type ships, because I know that ADB has a certain licensing issue with it, which is interesting. Let's go chase this rabbit a little bit. And that is, I actually was talking about Starfleet Battles and FedCom to a person at the grocery store. That's an interesting one. I was actually talking to the guy at the seafood counter. And tell him about Starfleet Battles and the Federation Commander and things like that. So, you know, I told him that about that. You know, you can play it, and I would recommend that if he's really interested to actually get the rules from Federation Commander, because it's simpler. You don't feel as overwhelmed compared to Starfleet Battles. Obviously one thing that I've heard said is that Federation Commander definitely ties in, you know, goes by the rule speed is life. It really accentuates that point just for the plain simple reason that if you stop, there's no benefit to stopping. It's not like an SFB. There's a benefit to stopping. You got all this power for reinforcement. Well, it's the Federation Commander. You don't got it. You ain't got squat. Sorry, but you don't. So, when it comes to Federation Commander, that's just, it's more, it's to the point. You know, it's more of an SFB than SFB in that regard. In that it's speed is life, and that's always a saying. It's been a saying when it comes to SFB for a while. You know, speed is life, because of if you're too slow, then you don't have the initiative. Because of in Starfleet Battles and Federation Commander, speed is initiative. If you are going faster than the other guy and you both move on the same impulse, say, or in the case of Federation Commander, the same sub impulse, then not actually call it subpulse. Sorry. That means that the other guy, the slower guy, moves first. So obviously, you actually get the benefit of that. That's why you got initiative. That's the way it works in SFB, which is one of those things that I've always, always, always enjoyed about SFB and Federation Commander. I always hated the idea of a die roll for initiative. That means initiative is random. You've done nothing to gain it, nothing to earn it. In the case of SFB, it's kind of like how I deal with movements. Movement itself is initiative. You know, it's kind of the way speed is, you know. But moving, I don't know how many games do this, which is that the attacker, if you have a defender and an attacker, the attacker actually has initiative, but the defender has a better defensive position. You know, they can they can when they're attacked, they have better defense than someone who's attacking who has less defense, which makes sense if you think about it. And I think that's why most of those go that way anyway, because it kind of makes sense. But anyhow, onward and forward, as they say. I'm going to move on to the Shapeways miniatures and go through some of the new ones. And let me go to here. And I want to look at, double check to see what actually on the page that I'm currently showing is actually was produced. Let me see. Let's start with. Okay, some of these I've seen. Ooh, that's kind of neat. Let me just look at this for a moment. Da-da-da. Wow. I have to look for that one. Okay, sorry, I'm seeing some of the posts that were actually Oh, there it is. Okay, that is one of them. Okay, how about the other one? I don't see it. Sorry, I'm looking for the Gorn. Because this one here, let me look at. It's a large freighter. Okay, that actually was. Let me see. Did they say Gorn's large freighter or just say large freighter? Because I asked because I saw. Yep. Gorn large freighter Omni, which is this one right here. Which is. I think is a cool idea. Which is this one. Which has two pods. Because it's a Gorn freighter. They're stacked. And I like that idea. I truly like that idea. Because that's definitely different and unique. Of course, we have this one, which is the Sparrowhawk T with two transport pods, i.e. this is their tug, which makes sense because of this is space. Remember that. It doesn't have to be underneath. Like if you're having a bomber that flies in air, where like tanks, fuel tanks, extra fuel tanks will be put below the wing. You don't actually have to do that in space. There's no reason to do that in space. The important thing in space is to make sure that you have in my mind at least, the largest surface between the two things that have to connect. Because in that case, if you have a larger surface, that means you have a better attachment. The stresses can be done over a larger area versus, you know, a couple, you know, like 10 bolts versus one bolt. You know, those 10 bolts are going to take less stress overall because each one takes a little bit of stress compared to two bolts, which takes more stress for the same, you know. Each of them takes less stress. I mean, takes more stress because of the total amount of stress is the same. Whether you have one or two. Ooh. Ah, yes. The tachyon missiles. I like what they did with the smaller miniatures. Like the tachyon missiles. Okay, I talked about the multi-warhead drones last month, so nothing much to talk about there. The Hivers. Looks like they have a few Hiver ships, which is, it's an interesting design. I kind of like the, when it comes to the Omegas, I like some of the ships. Hate that. I like some of the ships. Because of, you know, the sharp angles and things like that. Things like that I actually kind of like. in a ship. So that's kind of a neat one. Okay, then you have the heavy cruiser, which is, you know, different scales. And then we have the dreadnought here. Ooh, I kind of like that too. See, it's like it has this kind of neck, which reminds me of the Lyran, where it has that collar. Is the Lyran has the collar? That has the booster packs. The collar, I think it was the Tholians, is the one that had the collar. Which, that's what this kind of reminds me of. I'm sure it's not done the same way. This actually, I'm liking what ADB is doing when it comes to the freighters. And that is that, at least in this set of freighters that are being shown, they reflect the empire that they came from. So instead of all freighters, okay, let me go back here. Do they have one shown here? Actually, let me look at this. Don't mind me. It's probably under general, because usually freighters are considered general. Yeah, instead of here, like this one. This is a generic large freighter. Compare that to the Gorn, that large freighter, which has a total different look. Functionality speaking, it's exactly the same. But they look totally different. You have this generic one, which you could assume is like from the Federation. But then you have the ones from the Gorn, and you just saw the Zinni. So in that case, I think it really does. I think that idea is really, really neat. Okay, let me just go to all items again, and let me sort by newest. The whole idea is that, okay, what's, let me just look at this. Yeah, I already showed you the tacking on missiles, which are cool. Ooh. Do they have this one? They actually posted one of the Tholian web tender. They posted that. Let's see if, oh, this, oh yeah, this is one of the ones I was thinking when I said that the smaller ones, I really liked what they're doing with the smaller fighters. Smaller ships. Let's do a quick check here, which is switch to inches. I'm American. Give me a break. Yeah, so it's like 1/4 by approximately 1/4 by 1/3 of an inch. So that's what this is. So it's 1/4 by 1/4. So 1/4 here, 1/4 here, and height is a 1/3. So that's a pretty small ship overall. But obviously it's bigger than representationally speaking, it's not really the same. Compared to the size of what it should be in respect to the ship that it's going to be launched from, different story. But at the same time, you have the larger fighters and so forth. You have the larger fighters so that they actually have some detail. Let me see. Was that actually released this month? Just give me a sec here because... Yep. This one. Which, again, it's one of those monsters. This is Star Swarm. Which is cool. You know, I love these little things. I think they are great. Oh yeah, this is one I mentioned in the news portion, which is the Federation E3 Heavy Swag. Okay, E3 Heavy Swag Shuttle is like the standard E2 Swag Shuttle, used by heavy carriers to track enemy units in the area, maintain situational awareness, and provide electronic warfare support. It is more capable than E2, but still highly vulnerable to enemy fire. No kidding, it's a shuttle. And Lord knows, anyone who has played SFB with, and you have a person who has a swag shuttle, what's your number one goal? Kill the shuttle. Because it provides so much EW. Then, of course, you got what is it? I forgot what the tactic was called. But basically, what you would do is you take two of these suckers, two of these E3 swags, shuttles, and you put on... because you have like a couple heavy carriers in this battle, you have two of these swags. Put one on one side, one on the other, then usually have another ship to protect the shuttle, and then it's like a super weasel. So what it can do is it can draw all the seeking weapons from one, and what the whole idea was that you would have one swag turn on its wild weasel capability, so all the drones and all the plasma would go towards it. Then it could turn off, and then you light up the one on the other side and draw it across. And what you could do then is, as the most in the case of drones, this is the most time you use this, as drones go back and forth across the fleet, you just fire at it as it goes by. You know, I think it's a neat idea. Yeah, I'll work on that. Oh, it's called Ping Pong Tactic? Okay. And I apologize for those. Okay, I'm assuming... Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, guess 7, St. Dust Feathers, just Fed going into any freighters, but hopefully there actually will be more, you know? So that those things could be reflected, because I really like that idea. I really like the way that works. You know? Pong. Right. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Pong. You're right. Sorry. Guess I'm saying that's the Pong tactic. Not the ping pong tactic. Yeah, it's Pong tactic, as in the game Pong. For those of you who are... much younger than me, you have no clue. You probably have no clue what Pong is. Just for a quick bit of history, Pong was one of the first video games ever to exist. Actually, I had a copy of the Pong game system, which was interesting. I forget why we bought it. I just remember we got it one time. I mean, we play Pong back and forth. It was a really simple game. It's you both have these, basically these bars. These bars you can move up and down like a paddle. And the idea was that you have this one, it's supposed to represent a ball. But it was like this little square which would go back and forth between these two bars. And then you just would keep... hitting it so that, you know, you could then hit it back and forth. You know, and the idea was guess Dave, yes, I remember Vectrex. And that, I remember my brother really wanted to have one of those, which was it was a vector oriented system, which I wasn't even, if I recall correctly, that was supposed to be even a wasn't connected to your TV, because the Pong system actually connected to your TV, and that's how you played, was on your TV. But if I recall, the Vectrix was actually like a more of a portable game that you put in batteries and so forth. I'm pretty sure that you got that wrong. But I know the system you're talking about, because I can picture it in my mind. And I remember seeing the advertisements. Because I'm 52 and I know these things. I'm getting old, you know. Get off my lawn! back to Shapeways. And these beautiful miniatures that ADB has created. Bring this one up, which is the Saltorian Scout. Which is, again, it's a nice little scout. Got the saucers here and here. Which is, see, this is the one thing that I can't wait. I can't wait for them to have the Andromedans on here. I know currently they've got way too many, you know, metal Andromedans. So probably a while before they actually get around to doing here. What's this? Oh, okay. Sparrowhawk H. Cargo transport. So it has these smaller pods. Yeah, it looks like smaller pods is what it is. I want to call it a logistics transport, but I'm not sure if I'm correct on that. The Demon Hunter Heavy War Destroyer. Personally, I don't like the look of that ship. You know, but that's just me. You know, as I mentioned before, I like things with sharp angles. This obviously, I'm not sure if the ribbing here is intentional or not. It might be, you know, if it's intentional, okay, that's fine. But in either case, whether it's intentional or not, I've never been a fan of those hydrogen ships. The larger hydrogen ships I like. It makes sense because it's the small freighter, the Gorn small freighter, which makes sense because it has one of these nice pods versus two, which is what a large freighter has. But it looks kind of goofy, though. Again, I like, which is it's a Gorn small freighter, which means it keeps the design of the Gorn Empire and those ships that come from the Gorn Empire. So, the Orion Light. Okay, Light Cruiser. Okay, I was confusing the Light Cruiser with the Light Raider because I'm not sure. I'm not sure if we normally call the Orion CR a light cruiser. It might be called a light cruiser, you know. But, you know, I'm used to having, you have the light raider, and then you have the CR, which is an Orion raider, I think, or something like that. But, you know, I like the design, you know, nice sharp angles here. And of course, right. The warp engines, nice and clean, you know. So nice, really nice. I'm liking what I'm seeing. And of course, here is the Light Raider, the LR, which is interesting to me in that I would expect, yes, it's kind of thinner. I would, as a Light Raider, I've always, maybe it's just because of the SSDs I've, you know, you see, and the whole idea of the SSD is it represents, at least to a certain degree, what the ship looks like. And that is that I would expect this ship to be maybe thinner and, you know, a little bit thinner, I guess. Because I picture the Light Raider being these kind of needle-nose, almost, you know, needle-nose, not needle-nose, but, you know, these thin ships that are supposed to be wicked fast, you know. Yeah, they can go really fast, but they, of course, being Orion, they're very nimble, but they don't have the firepower that, you know, a CR, an Orion CR has. Ooh. According to the listing, there should be a Lyran strike cruiser. Let's take a look-see. Let's go on to the next page, which I don't like doing. Because if I go to any of these things, I have to reset everything all back to the beginning. Ah, there it is. The Thalian Strike Carrier. Let me look at this for a moment. Ooh. Oh, come on. Okay, there it is. That's kind of cool. Now, this I like. I think this is cool. I'm assuming, I don't know what those, I'm assuming those are used for a reason. Whoops. So, but that's cool. I'm assuming those are used for the fighters themselves. Let me see what does it. Bum, bum, bum. I'm just wondering if it's, no, it does not. The Strike Carrier was a proposed convert of one of the Neo-Tholian heavy cruisers with a strike carrier with 12 fighters. The desperate need for a limited number of heavy cruisers delayed this conversion for years. This is understandable because for those who know anything about Tholian history, you know that if you know anything about Tholian history, the original Tholians that came into our galaxy were basically civilians, is what it comes down to. They brought their Dyson sphere for their home, for their capital planet. How they actually did that, no one knows. But you know, they were come here and they didn't, well, came to our galaxy, you know, near the, and landed somewhere in on the outskirts of Federation space between the Romulan and Klingon space, which they were not too happy about that when all of a sudden they found some aliens which they never encountered before. And the Federation were perfectly happy to have the Romulans and the Klingons separated. You know, but all they had were these little police cruisers. You know, they were civilians. It was a civilian population. All you were doing was police cruisers. You know, they learned how to put these things together to form larger ships. You know, and later on, what's considered the Neo-Tholians, as in New Tholians, they're actually the only old, but those were the old military ships that made it behind them, you know. And those ships were very few. And there was a big concern about, from the military leaders, okay, what they're going to do? Are they going to ask us to go right into the fight? Or, you know, but they put forth, you know, it all came out fine because the military put forth the calls that we need, call for repair, basically. So that they can come in and that kind of solve the whole issue, which was good. Ah. Hey, Matt. Ah, okay. Matt, okay, for those of you who don't see what's happening on the chat room, or if you're just listening, you won't hear it. Well, you can't see it because it's a podcast. There was a lot of discussion in the BBS about the deck height and adjusting them to be more realistic compared to their metal minis. guess I'm saying that MMG is right. Guess 7 drew a cross section to make sure the decks had enough headroom. The Thalian should have submitted to the Seltorian overlords. Good one. Ah, yeah, and actually that's also was released. I'm just double checking. Which was the Romulan KCR heavy battle cruiser, which is classic Klingon ship. Let's look at this for a quick moment because of the one thing that I wanted to look at was actually what I want to do is let's pull this up a little bit right around there. What I want to see is, yep, okay. Because what I would look at was here. See this? I want to see if there was a difference, and I'm pretty sure that's the difference, which is those are plasma ports, which is different from disruptors on the Klingon ships. So let's cancel that. And again, that when it comes to those ships versus the Romulan ships, because basically they're conversions. Then there's not much to change there, except for you have to tweak it because it's supposed to be using Romulan weapons versus Klingon weapons. This is the one I was talking about earlier, which is the Tholian web tender, which is the whole idea of the web tender. If you remember your ships, when it comes to Starfleet battles, this ship basically is one big, I was going to say one big freaking battery, but it's not a battery. It's supposed to maintain the webs around bases. That's the whole object of the web tender. So it tends the web. Oh, shocker. And given that, what basically these things are just a huge number of power reactors so that it can just continually re-energize the web. It would go to the web, and recharge it so that it wouldn't come down. The whole idea was to maintain the web, especially around bases, as a defense. Because if you didn't maintain a defense, it just would come down. Now, obviously, anyone who knows Tholians and Tholians, when it comes to bases, the perfect base, if it's possible, is one where it's near an asteroid field where they actually can grab asteroids, draw it to around the base, and just can put webs between the asteroids. Now, Currently an SFB do have no way to actually destroy to destroy asteroids. It's considered that you can fire upon it all you want with as much firepower that you want to, but you cannot destroy asteroids. Therefore, there's a permanent anchor point, in which case, in theory, you don't have to reinforce the webs because the web will never disappear. But obviously the web is going to decrease in power after a long period of time. But I'm not sure, I don't think that's actually covered in a scenario time frame. That's more tactical turn time frame. I mean, i.e. days. You might have to go out there and recharge it for every so many days to restore the energy, because come on, it is energy. Oh, okay. Guess someone just mentioned that the smooth version does not have the belly art of the bird, which makes sense. Actually, it doesn't make sense. Okay. That kind of makes sense because of, you have the smooth portion, because the bird is actually part of the non-smooth version. Okay. Okay. That's the heavy web tender. Okay, that's what that was. Oh, okay. And this is a jumbo web tender, which means a regular web tender is just these two up here and not this additional pod below it. I did not. Sorry if I missed that. Was that the release? Yes, it was. Okay. Another, as I said, I like the fighters. And in this case, it's a B-1 strike bomber from the Federation, which is how it's much bigger than the Zinni. This one is actually 2.42, almost, let's say it's rounded to 2.5 by a little more than 2 inches by, four-tenths of an inch, which is almost half an inch. So it's a pretty big fighter when it comes to, it's not even a fighter, it's a bomber. A bomber is a much larger attrition unit than a fighter is. So it's okay. I like the missiles down below underneath the wing, but overall it's a pretty bland ship. That looks nice underneath, where you have, looks like you have two multi warhead drones and then six, like, I'm assuming type one drones is what they are, and I'm assuming that these are like, I don't know what those are. Six anti-type, okay. Two phaser twos, a Gatling phaser. Defensive system, electronic warfare, two photon torpedoes. Those are probably the torpedo tubes, is what they are. Okay, it's mentioning that the photons occupy half of the space of the internal weapons bay, because there actually is internal weapons bay in the ship. Not ship, but, well, the bomber. The other half of the, or the entire bay, if the photons were not used, could be configured to carry various drones, including double-sized heavy drones, cargo, transporter bombs, or nuclear space mines, which are nasty things if you can imagine these bombers, right before a battle, going out and laying down this big minefield, you know. Of course, the one thing that is a benefit, one thing you always have to keep in mind, though, is that fortunately you can't actually have that many T-bombs, because the number of T-bombs is limited, unless you actually have a minesweeper. That's an interesting idea, which is, especially because it can handle nuclear space mines. My question is, can you use B-1 bombers to lay a minefield? You know, to lay the nuclear space mines. I think guess 7 is confirmed that those tubes are photon tubes, which is quite cool. Look at this for a moment, because it looks like there's also B-1Bs, which are a string of them, which is almost 8 inches by, you know, one. Yeah, so this is basically, you can get a collection. Looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, yeah, 6. 6 of them in a strand. And looks like overall they're smaller than the singular B-1 bomber. So it depends on what you want to do. Let me look at this for a moment. I want to see, does it have the photon torpedo tubes on this? Or is that kind of one of those things that had to be lost? No, they're there. It's just, they're going to be much smaller than an actual B-1 bomber. Which is nice, because then what you're going to do with the individual B-1 bombers, what you can do then is take that, paint them, and actually have them like as your kind of fighter collection. That kind of thing. And you have the smaller ones we can actually use for combat and actually, you know, playing the game. Oh, okay. Matt was just mentioning that those are actually engines. Those tubes are engines. They're not photon tubes. I guess everyone was looking at the wrong thing. And that's fine. It happens. Okay, and I think that is it, because there's the Zinni, which I'm not too thrilled about. You know, Gorn Battleship. It is what it is. And same for the Fed FFB, a battle frigate. You know, nothing special. You know, it's nice to have those ships for those people who want to play them, but, you know, I'm not going to every single one. Okay. Whoa. According to Steve Cole, that sucks. That Safeway ended the ability to have people contact those people who follow you. You know, I'm not sure why. Probably someone abused it, you know, and they don't want to have to police it, you know. But at the same time, Gene said the one thing I did miss, let me see if I can find it, which is the Orion Battle Raider is one of those things that's listed, but I did not see. Let's see if we can go back to... Well, I think they improved the website, so you actually maintain your... there it is. Big surprise. Which actually, I like. It's kind of thicker. Okay, obviously that's right there. That is for mounting. Yeah, I like the Battle Raider much better than the Light Raider. So the Light Cruiser, I'm sorry. Those are, of course, the two different sizes. And with that, that is the Shapeways for this month. Okay. Just I'm bringing a comment on the discussion board was John Wyszynski just mentioned that the text is slightly different between things. But that does not matter. Minis, 285th minis are close to scale as the X-Wing minis, which is interesting, actually. Okay, let me see if I can do this. Because I want to see if I can do. I would love to. See if I can adjust there. Okay, share. Cool. Just want to change what I'm sharing. Right now I'm sharing the chat room. Because I'm done with the Shapeways portion, I didn't want just watching the Shapeways portion. I'm not sure if you guys, anyone who's listening and maybe even watching, would rather just see a static image of the Shapeways, and I figured you probably would rather watch the chat room than watching the unmoving and things about Shapeways, which overall, okay, doesn't matter. Now, moving on to actually to the next topic. Because I think we're done discussing the new Shapeways miniatures. Because we've got some really nice ones out there this month. As I said, I like the freighters. I think those were the best this year. Not this year. This month, for the plain simple reason that there was something different, a different idea. Instead of just staying with the standard large freighters, standard small freighters, ADB decided to actually create Empire-specific. And I'm saying that once we get the size down, we'll have Empire-specific bases in the next couple months. Ooh, that'd be cool too. That will be neat. Because obviously we already have a Empire-specific base for the Andromedans, but that's because they're the Andromedans, I think. At least I would hope so, considering the way the satellite bases and the battle stations for the Andromedans were. Basically, you have satellite bases which are connected together to form a battle station. But again, Matt, I'm totally on board with the whole idea of Empire-specific generic units. I'd say you could do the same thing for the shuttles, but I don't think that's really that important. I think the bases, I think, warrant it. Onward and forward, we're going to have a... I just want to discuss this idea. One thing... All your bases belong to us. Understood. But anyway, moving forward, the one thing I wanted to actually discuss is obviously the mini convention I go to. I really call it a gaming group. Game group that meets twice a month. I mean, not twice a month. Twice a year. But it's great. If you ever are in the Harrisburg area when it happens, which is usually Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday that weekend and Labor Day weekend. Those are the two at the moment. I'm hoping that they'll move it from Labor Day weekend. Between Labor Day weekend and and which is summer, barely summer, and the Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday that weekend is, you know, pretty close to one another. But anyhow, most of the games that are played there are these European style games, you know. So when you see them, you know, people don't, basically what it comes down to it, people don't like to play tactical style board games. Now, that does not mean they don't like strategic level board games, because Lord have mercy, and I do mean have mercy, there's, what was it? Let me see. Eclipse is one game, and it's Empire. I forget what it was, but basically, these are empire building games that take 6 hours to play. Now, obviously, in theory, you could do this, you could possibly introduce F&E in this category, though, since F&E has battles, I mean really detailed battles, people might not be interested. I know that ADB was looking into the whole idea of F&E Lite. So, a simplified version of F&E, I think it would actually do fantastic for this. It had to. I know that ADB was interested at some point into it. I think the whole idea was this other gaming group for that was going to augment the whole campaign idea with FedCom, was going to do exactly what we wanted it to do. Yeah. So I think that's the way to go. Now the question is, I think the whole idea of having combat is fine, but combat has to be resolved in a really quick manner. Of course, the tough part about Starfleet battles is this. Starfleet battles, you already start with a preset map. And a lot of these other games don't have preset maps. Is a preset map a bad thing? Not necessarily. Okay. See, I guess 9. Not necessarily. The big... I think it might be able to be successful if you simplify the game system. And I'm not... It's one of those things, I don't think you actually could take F&E and simplify it. What you have to do is redo the rules. Now, as I tend to like doing when it comes to that kind of thing, is the one thing I like the whole idea of reusing what I've got. You know, I know it's goofy, you know, instead of making a game with new parts that I can have them, so there'll be custom parts for myself. I would like to reuse parts that I already have for gaming systems I already have, especially when it comes to SFU stuff, you know, Star for the Universe stuff. Now, I have to check to see about when it comes to the F&E counters, because it's possible to have the F&E counters. I got to check to see what information is actually on an F&E counter, because of, I'm wondering if I could use any information that's on that to represent the ship and actually represent the strength of the ship and so forth. And the question is whether I need to represent individual ships or I can genericize it a little bit more. And the whole idea of a ship represents a squadron, or maybe a fleet, you know, this kind of idea where you have different capabilities for those. Now, that's possible. That you have a counter representing a, let's say a fleet at the moment. The whole idea, so that you only have one piece on the board. Yeah, yeah, Matt, I'm pretty sure you're correct, which is that when they're working on finishing Admiral, they were going to use the F&E stats for the most part. And I think you're correct in that. The thing is, I know ADB, i.e. Steve Cole, has worked a lot on Federation Admiral. I'm not sure where they are at the moment. I think they're still doing some play tests, but I don't think, and I would love to know how that's going, and more to the degree of what is the thought processes, and when it comes to the game itself. How is the game going to work? Because of, basically, I want this to be a beer and pretzels game. That is what I want. I'd like to have it to be something that you can teach people in a short period of time. Define short. An hour. You know, something that someone can easily pick up. So, that would be great if you could do that. Guest Dave, just to let you know, everything's working fine. I'm still on the phone. I am recording, so it should be all broadcasting. So I'm not sure what's going on with you. Matt, yeah. Okay. Onward and forward. Yeah. So it's on hiatus. Which I'm concerned about, I think this would really be cool if we can get a game like that together using the stats of the current systems and use that possibly to build up a fleet. And what I'm thinking about doing is either a squadron or a fleet, or maybe have a limitation. The whole idea is that you kind of build ships, or you build up a fleet, build up a squadron. So it's called build up a fleet. So the idea is that you're actually adding ships to a fleet, which is represented by a counter, which gives it more abilities, more strength, different abilities, things like that. It's almost like a D&D character where you pick up, I pick up a shield, a +2, and I pick up a sword, which is a flaming sword, you know. Things like that, I think would, I think that's one way of simplifying it, so that you don't have all these pieces. Now, of course, you'd have to have the ability to split fleets and things that do some fleet management if you want to. See, that's the thing, is that obviously to genericize like that, you might actually have to do some fleet management. Either that, or at the very least, if you don't want to have to do fleet, you have to do fleet management one way or the other. Either you have to do fleet management when it comes to having individual ships represented, or you have to have fleet management on paper where a ship represents a fleet and the fleet's abilities are represented on paper. It doesn't have to be numbers. Obviously, what you really want when it comes to a game like that was that you'd want to have like a board for each fleet. And each fleet then would have little chits where you could put it in the different things. Okay, it has a scout. So, you know, actually that would be just one spot. So you don't have extraordinary ability. You may have a plus for scouts. Or when it comes to defense, okay, you can You have so much defense. You know, you have fighters, okay, and so forth. Things like that, which actually kind of almost, I was something like along the lines of Starfleet Warlord I was thinking of a while back, and the whole idea of adding fleets into Starfleet Warlord to simplify movement purely. And that was when you have the whole, when it comes to mobile gaming, you want less for people to do, if possible, some way to simplify things so they can move things pretty quickly. Okay. So, I would think that what you can do at that point is set up a war, because I might be able to get people involved in a war scenario. I'm not sure, because still it's conflict. And most people, they like conflict to be part of the game, but not the whole game. And that is the whole big problem with Starfleet battles. Starfleet, the whole Starfleet universe. It's not about building colonies and things like that. Except for if you do Starfleet Warlord, which that actually is something that I would have to think about. Which is turning Starfleet Warlord into a board game. Yep. Star Trek Ascendancy. That would be... I saw that, actually. Matt, this reminds me. Actually, someone had a copy of Star Trek Ascendancy. I did not realize what he had at the time. I totally forgot that Star Trek Ascendancy was that kind of a game. Which is kind of cool. I'm going to write that down right now, just so that I remember about that and looking that up as a game. The big problem of trying to get people to play Starfleet Warlord game, which was one I built, is actually... The big thing is I just have to get people interested, because I've actually, there have been some times when people have brought their playtest games to the convention, and people have played it and they've enjoyed it, and then they'll take that, the experience that they had from people playing the game, and then they would actually tweak the game. Okay. Matt, I will definitely take a look-see at that, because... That sounds like something that some people would like. And actually, there was a guy there that was there, and he had Star Trek Ascendancy. And I would love to maybe next time to actually play with him. Hopefully this time. Actually, I play with him Through the Ages. I am not going to play that game for a long time, because I played a game of Through the Ages. It took us 9 hours. That's not quite true. It took us more like 8, maybe 7.5 hours, because we took a break to go to dinner. I went to Five Guys. I wanted Noodles and Company, but one guy needs something that's gluten free, and noodles have gluten. Big surprise. Because actually, I like Noodles and Company. I want to see if there's. I'm pretty sure there's not one even close by here. The closest one is where I was, which is an hour drive away. And the problem is finding a place that actually sells ramen noodles around here. I mean, a ramen noodle restaurant. Actually, that's one thing I enjoyed when I was in New York City. I went to a ramen noodles restaurant, and they had that and sushi. And I truly enjoyed the ramen noodles. It was really good. One thing I've been thinking about, basically it was a simplified F&E game. But there is the possibility of maybe taking Starfleet Warlord, making it more like a board game. Remove the electronic portions of it, if possibly. Okay, that's fine. Since he says that an hour a player. So basically, and you need 3 to 5 players. That means it's going to for 3 players, it's going to be taking 3 hours plus learning time, which means that if it's going to be a 3-hour game, it's probably going to be a 5-hour game if you're learning it. Which means that I just have to learn it before I go to the convention and possibly try to play it, you know. Yeah. No. Actually, Dave, just to let you know, I didn't eat that much ramen noodles. Now, the weird part about when I actually did eat ramen noodles was my sophomore year, when my college dorm room was basically a walk-in closet. It's about how big it was. Because we got put up at the International House in Philadelphia because they had no more room that year. And I was an out-of-state student, so they kind of had to guarantee us lodgings, you know. So they rented out the whole floor in the International House to use it as a dorm room, for Drexel University, and to make ramen noodles. What I had to do, I had this little thing, which basically it would boil water, and then I'd put the noodles in. That worked, you know. But I still, you know, actual ramen noodles, you know, the way how they make it is quite a bit different. So actually, I think with that, I'm going to wrap up this evening. It was a wonderful time, both streaming on YouTube and also, let's see if I can do some modifying there. And also, obviously, chatting with the people, and we had nice discussion. Got to hear my review about Shapeways, and we had a little discussion about what kind of game could be created that is basically Starfleet Battles based. You know, Starfleet Universe based, that is based off AWB's IP. At least that's the way I see it, because I really like to play a game there because I got a few people that actually like tactical board games, but most people don't. They don't like actually doing combat. You know, they rather have like an European style game where, let's say, Puerto Rico or Through the Ages, as I just mentioned, which was what a game. Games like that is what they really like to play. So, should be interesting. You know, maybe I should really look into Russ's scenario for when it comes to the role-playing game and learn how to be a GM. So I think with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.